Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. Bezus Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 429. We're going to discuss a book by Rabbi Shlomo Slatkin, very powerful and I believe very effective, 5-step action plan to a happy and healthy marriage. We're talking about the first step of that, which is to commit, the commitment in a marriage to make it better. And one, if someone really wants to be honest with themselves, husbands or wives, that part of being committed to the marriage, or at least trying to make the marriage work, is to realize that it's not all about the other person. It's not always about your husband or your wife. It's about you. What do you bring to the table? Why is it possible that you would get divorced and remarry and have similar problems or other types of problems in a second marriage? Would it be coincidence if that happens? Would it be bad luck if that happens? Or there is a real reality of something in my personality that I need to work on. And if you need to work on it, you might as well work on it now in this marriage with this person. So in other words, you may get divorced and leave your ex-husband and ex-wife behind, but wherever you're going to take yourself to the next relationship. And if you have things that you need to work through with yourself, you're going to encounter problems in that next relationship as well. Because it does take two to tango. It's never always one party. It's very, very common when things go sideways that it's the spouse, the other spouse, they're the monster. They're the ones that have all the psychological problems. They're the ones that are the cause of all our agmas nefesh in this world. And in reality, if we looked honestly with ourselves, we have our role in this. And sometimes we trigger by our own undesirable behaviors. Not always. When we're wrong, we're wrong. When we're right, we're right. But we have to have a clarity with that. So the idea is that the relationship is not just, it's partially about your husband or wife, yes, but it's a lot about us. And this is a hard pill that people don't want to swallow because it takes a lot of looking into yourself. And you get an outside objective, healthy opinion. And they tell you, you know, objectively what you're correct with, what you're not correct with, what you need to work on, what is something that is you're doing well. You evaluate and you do your best to learn about yourself and do your best. So when we get triggered externally, it's a symptom of a different problem. It's something we have to understand ourselves why we get triggered about things. So they have particular exercises about this. So the first thing really is to think in an objective way. Why am I annoyed at my spouse, my husband or wife? Why do I feel hurt about that? What scares me about it? How do I normally react when my husband or wife behaves this particular way? What do I really need from my spouse? And so on. Very often, what a person needs to realize in marriage, looking back, the point of conflict is a blessing in disguise. People think that, again, there's Rashi's pshat, we always say this, that if you're zaycha, your wife is an ezer, a help, and if you're not zaycha, if you're not worthy, it's kenegdo, she'll oppose you. But as the Netziv writes and others, that in the good marriages, in the best of marriages, in the most beautiful marriages, it'll still be an ezer kenegdo, but over here, the kenegdo actually helps the Azer part of it. The Kenegdoi is the opportunity for growth and healing in your marriage, and it helps you become better. It helps you become more balanced as a person, and you will see usually that the things that bother us most about our husbands and wives, or the things that our wives or husbands complain about us, are usually the areas that if we work on, that's where the greatest growth and greatest bracha is and can be. So you have, for example, a wife. He wanted his wife to be a stay-at-home type of mom. She wanted to work, and he became like Mr. Mom. He didn't mind the cooking, but he felt not overwhelmed and didn't feel accomplished. The wife, on the other hand, complained about the husband's lack of motivation to grow in business. So, but what they disliked about each other, the very things that they needed to grow on. So in this particular situation, what it was is that the wife came from a divorced home where the mother was a feminist, pushed work over motherhood. And then the wife began to realize that it was like a one-sided thing. Now, again, we talked about how work is very important to many women and to express their talents in other ways, not just as a mother at home. And that's valid, perfectly valid. But in this particular case, it was through the feminist mother bashing motherhood and extolling work that created imbalance in her. And then she realized after she worked on herself that I do want to learn how to be, manage a home. I want to know how to cook. And I want to accept the responsibility to look at parts of myself that I didn't look at before. I was always looking at career. Now I want to see, yes, I could be effective at home and nurturing at home and so on and so forth. And that's something the husband desperately needed from his wife. And the husband also at that point, once she did that, was free to be productive and make a living, and he'll help with the domestic chores. But so you see what I'm saying is that it's not a matter of work versus career versus motherhood type of thing. It's more like a healthy balance. And what happens is when you can't resolve conflicts, you basically say that you're wrong for each other. You married the wrong person. I married a mommy type and I really want the working type. I married a working type and I really want the mommy type, in his perception. But the bottom line is these things create the need to grow and to have a healthy balance. So when people go through a crisis in marriage, is not a proof that you ended up with the wrong person. Adaraba, very often it is that the right choice was made. Hashem put you with the right zivug, even though to you everything looks off. But if they're pushing your buttons and you're pushing their buttons, it does not mean that you ended up with the wrong person. You ended up with the right person that you're being shown by Hashem what you need to work on. And when you accept that and you start giving it your all to make it work and not consider breaking up a family and spending money on attorneys and have additional heartaches, but to actually work on the marriage, both of them decide to do this. They end up in a place of growth, of maturity, and ultimately reconnecting in a very, very deep way. We want peace in our homes, and it's so, so important. But we want peace outside, but you won't have peace outside of the house if you don't have peace within the home. That's why directing your energy into your marriage relationship with your husband, with your wife, and to commit to the success of it, to push divorce out of your mind. Again, if you both already went through the process of different things and you went through objective mentors and they guide you through those processes with asking a shayla, whatever it is, when it's needed, it's needed. But kol zman that you're told that despite the bumps in the road and maybe even big bumps in the road, it's workable, then both the husband and the wife together put divorce out of their heads. It's not an option. Because if divorce becomes an option in the back of the head, you will not be fully present in the relationship to want to work it. Because you're always looking at that escape hatch. Oh, you know, I could always escape to that. No. You say to yourself, I'm here. It's not an option. We're going to make this relationship work. And they both commit to it. Very often when couples come to counseling and they still don't succeed, it's not because they couldn't succeed. It's because their commitment was not a full commitment. And that can be told in their attitudes and their actions. It's very interesting that this Shlomo Slatkin has an interesting point. And just to let you know in general, because people feel that sometimes therapists take advantage when they charge money. There's a certain reasonable fee that's reasonable that people should be paying. This is just makes perfect sense. We're going to get into that topic a different time. But the idea being, what he said, very interesting, is that his successful couples are the ones that came consistently on a weekly basis. Sometimes what he did was, if it was very expensive for them, he made a sliding scale and lowered the fee somewhat for people who came consistently. Sometimes he would lower the fee. But in many cases, when he lowered the fee, the therapy went downhill and was unsuccessful. Why? Because they were not truly invested in the relationship. Canceling sessions, skipping weeks, all of that stuff. So sometimes what he did was, is if you're really serious that you can't afford this and it's hard financially, then I will reduce my fee, but you have to commit to come 12 weeks straight or commit to 12 sessions. And those 12 sessions, I get the money regardless. So this makes it that it's a commitment. He wanted the commitment. And when they do not make such a commitment, they won't get the results that they're looking for. If they make the commitment, even though it's not pleasant, it may not be pleasant to spend the money, it may not be pleasant to put in the effort, but this is what creates the success. And a lot of marriages fall apart and people get divorced when they really shouldn't, is because they both did not put in their hearts and their minds to decide to commit fully to work this through. This is why sometimes, again, just an idea with charging, people charge. I actually am not that way. When I get free svarim, let's say, sometimes Breslov gives out free svarim, others give out free svarim. I know they're from a chashev, a mechaber, or very special, so I take it as a valuable thing, even if I got it for free. But many don't feel that way. They feel, if I got something for free, then it's not valuable. You know, the more you charge a nice price. Oh, that's chashev. A lot of people work that way, and sometimes maybe I sometimes have that feeling sometimes also, and that gives it value. So the idea is, bottom line is, that couples in crisis, they want their marriage to succeed, and they are willing to invest in their relationship. They will almost always be successful, even if they have tremendous problems, even when there was extramarital affairs. Even then, if they both decide to work on their relationship and they're fully invested, one could heal even from that, even with such a breach. You could salvage the marriage and make it workable and even healthy and be as closer than ever if you make that strong commitment to have it work. The problem is people are afraid to commit to work on something. Because you erroneously believe that if I commit, I become a slave. It's very, very interesting. There's a quote he mentions. He saw it on a Starbucks cup, but it's very, very powerful. That this quote said as follows. The irony of commitment is that it's deeply liberating in work, in play, in love. Meaning that the axe frees you from the tyranny of your internal critic, from the fear that likes to dress itself up and parade around as rational hesitation. To commit is to remove your head as the barrier to your life. Which is basically saying as follows, is that when you commit, you think you're being trapped because you're picking a specific path. But the truth is that the indecision is what is slavery. The indecision makes you feel uncomfortable and makes you feel enslaved. Once you muster the courage to commit to a path, then the energy that it was wasted now is channeled and it becomes freeing and becomes liberating. So when a husband and wife both decide to really, really push themselves and say, we're committed full force, that is liberating. And great things could happen when that happens. So you need to ask yourself, what's getting in the way of me committing in this relationship? What's the risks? Why am I so scared about it? What do I gain if I do commit? And you run through this. Sometimes you need to recall back the good times, because most marriages, Baruch Hashem, even if now things are turned sour, had good times together. You could connect to that time where you had good trips together, where you enjoyed each other. Qualities that you found in your husband or wife that helped you to recognize that she or he is the one for me. A lot of those qualities are not lost. It's just buried in, not expressed recently, but it is something that's healthy. You could have a vision of how you want the relationship to be going forward. Could we become best friends if we ever were before and we lost it? Or even if we never were before, could we learn to respect each other even when times are difficult? Could we learn how to live together peacefully? Even if we have disagreements, we could still live peacefully. So this is the first step of the five steps to commit. And to summarize it as follows, is that the lack of commitment is the number one reason for divorce. It is not marital affairs. It is not other types of things. Yes, on occasion you have serious abuse taking it. We're not talking about that right now. But many or most divorces come from a lack of commitment on either or both sides, from wanting to work seriously on the marriage and working on themselves. It's a decision, it's an attitude, and it's an action. And it is a decision to be dedicated to your relationship and make it a priority. To make it a priority that my marriage comes first. To want to have a good marriage and to work at it. Because it's not expendable. You don't throw it away. You don't throw it away. There are many potential problems you will face by getting divorced. You ask healthy divorce people, they'll acknowledge that. They'll acknowledge that. Some divorce people, like I'm talking about the healthy, mature people, men or women, wives or husbands, it makes no difference. They will say, looking back, it was an abusive situation. We asked Rabbanim, it had to happen. But they have a healthy maturity about it. That happens. The Torah allows it. So obviously that could be have a place in many in some situations. But very often, when they're mature and divorced, maybe remarried afterwards, they look back and they say, you know something? And this is absolutely true. Absolutely true. I heard this myself many times, both personally when people send me messages and from what I read documented, where divorced people acknowledge that when I was first married and I got divorced, okay, my wife or husband wasn't perfect. They also had their issues. They didn't have skills either, but neither did I. I didn't develop it. I didn't understand what marriage was about. If I would have known now all the skills that I knew then, I would be different, and it could have worked. Very, very often, even if someone was divorced and remarried and happily remarried, and they're moving on, and they realize it's Basharat, and they moved on, but they recognize in their minds, you know, if I would have had that awareness that worked on myself, it could have worked, and most of the time it could have worked. That's the sad part. And to have children and then split their world in two, putting them at a greater risk of divorce and psychological issues. And I'm not saying it always happens, and Baruch Hashem, you have many that are very well adjusted. But then the financial aspects and to split up assets with your ex-husband, ex-wife, and I'll find somebody better, and very often you don't find somebody better, or you think you find somebody better, and you come across similar problems, or even if it's a different personality, then you have different problems because it's a different personality. So the idea being is, if you ask a shyly, you go straight in a healthy path, you want a marriage to work, and there are extenuating circumstances where a Rav, a Paisik, a mentor, a therapist says that it has to go in a different direction, that's a different story. Then you're going according to the Torah and what the Torah wants in your life. But for the most part, a marriage is meant to stay. Divorces, many, many, many of them are avoidable, very avoidable. And it's the purpose of it is growth, healing, and your conflicts with your husband, with your wife is proof usually that you chose the right person, not the wrong person, because part of conflict is a growth opportunity. It compels you, it pushes you, it puts you to become a more complete person by changing those very areas that annoy your spouse, but it's difficult for you to change. And then you realize, hey, wait a minute. My spouse says this aspect drives them crazy. And looking at it objectively speaking, it is a quirk or a thing that I really should correct regardless of whether it drives her crazy or doesn't. And that's really the idea behind it. Relationship peace is Gan Eden in this world, and it could be achieved. It takes hard work. But put divorce out of the brain. Don't consider that an option. And that, because if you do, you're not giving your marriage a fair chance. You both commit to work full force on it. And almost all the time, it is successful. Bracha natzlacha.